Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Forman, and today we will be studying Yecheskel Perchav Beh, Chapter 22. The description of the sins and punishments of Yerushalayim intensifies in these final prakim as the exile and destruction to come are getting closer. You could think of our parak as having three sections. It starts and ends with a litany of sins that the city is responsible for, while the middle of the parak describes the punishment that will befall the city. Let's get started. Our parak opens with God asking Yecheskel, "Hatishbodet your hatamim? Will you judge the city of blood?" The feeling of those opening words makes it sound like we are about to witness a court case. Yecheskel will be the judge, and the litigant being judged is a nameless city, known only by a shorthand for its crimes. This is God versus Ir HaDamim, the city of bloodshed. Who is this Ir HaDamim? Well, sounds like the sinning city must be Yerushalayim, wouldn't you say? After all, that has been the topic of previous prophecies. And seemingly the answer is yes, it is Yerushalayim. But strangely, it is never actually named as Yerushalayim. We see almost no mention of the city by name. Not in this pasuk, and not in the rest of the parak. Instead of referring to the city by name, the prophecy refers to it only by its sins. The city is kind of nicknamed for her sin of bloodshed. It's almost as though these sins of the city become her new identity. Getting back to the psukim, God then tells Yecheskel, "V'hodata ekol to'avoteha, make the abominations of the city known to her. Make sure she understands what her perversities are, what she did wrong. Remember, this is a court case, and in a court case, this first step is to litigate your case. So Yecheskel is to make it clear to the city exactly what her sins are. And what are these toivot, abominations of the city? Well, as the name Ir HaDamim suggests, they are clearly associated with bloodshed. And in fact, dam, in some form or another, appears throughout this first section of sins. Take, for example, in Pasuk Gimel, Ir Shofachat Dam Betocha, a city that spills blood within herself, seemingly with no attempt to cover it up, according to Rashi. Take also Pasuk Dalet, B'damecha Sher Shafacht Ashamt, because of the blood that you spilled, you've become guilty. And the words, Anshei Rachil Hayubach Laman Shfoch Dam, tellers of tales were within you in order to spill blood. Here, the Navi argues that bloodshed in the city wasn't always done directly. Sins, such as bribery and gossip, also can ultimately lead to bloodshed. But in addition to bloodshed, the Navi goes through a whole list of toivot. And as we begin reading that list, we will start to notice that it sounds eerily familiar to us from somewhere else. So where have we heard the list before? Rashi in Pasuk Zayin reminds us, these sins were called toivot once before, all the way back in the Chumash itself. These are the sins, Rashi says, that are the very toivot warned about in Parsha Kedoshim. In Rashi's words, "Kol ha-toivot shebeparsha kedoshim tiyu shehus haru alehem nimnu kan." All of the abominations that the Jewish people were warned about in Parsha Kedoshim are listed here. Line by line, our parak describes what it looks like when the nation defiles itself by not keeping these dictates. In Kedoshim, for example, there is a warning to fear mother and father, ish imo v'aviv tira'u. In our parak, we learn that the nation slighted mother and father, Ava im hekelubach. In Yecheskel, lagera suba oshek v'tolchech yatold almanahonubach. Strangers have been cheated, orphans and widows were taken advantage of. And in Kedoshim, v'chia gorit chager ba'artachem lo tonu otel. Don't mistreat the stranger that lives among you. In Yecheskel, kutshai bazita v'eshapto taichilauta. You disrespected my holy things and desecrated my Shabbos. And in Kedoshim, et shabtotai tishmoru u'mikdashi tira'u, keep my Shabbos and fear my mikdash. In Yecheskel, we have anshei rachil hayubach l'man shvochdam, tellers of tales were within you in order to spill blood. Ervat av gilabach, the nakedness of fathers was revealed. Tumat hanidayinubach, women were raped while they were menstruating. V'ish et esher re'ehu asa toiva, people acted in abominable ways. The list goes on. All of these have analogs in Kedoshim. In Kedoshim, we learn that the keeping of these mitzvot and the avoiding of the abominations listed there is what makes us holy, Kedoshim to you. And that's what makes God's name known in the world. But What happens when Israel allows itself to become sullied with these abominations, when it fails to live up to being a holy nation? After the list of Toivot, Parsha Kedoshim tells us the answer. V'lo taki etchem ha'aretz asher ani mevei etchem shama la'shevet ba. Make sure to keep this mitzvot, so that the land I'm bringing you to live in will not spit you out. V'lo tachu b'chukot ha'goy asher ani b'shaleach mipneichem. Do not follow the practices of the nations that I'm sending out before you. Ki kol eila suv akutzbam. Doing those things makes me disgusted with them. V'omar lachem atem tirshu ad admatam, v'ani etnenu lachem l'reshet otah. Hashem says, you will inherit their land, and I will give it to you to inherit it. L'reshet otah, eretz zavat chalav u'dvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Ani Hashem elokeichem, asher hivdalti etchem min ha'amim. I am God who separated you from the nations of the world. Back in Yechezkel, our psukim pick up on this, suggesting that Israel is worthy of facing exile because she has allowed herself to become defiled with these abominations. In fact, interlaced with Yechezkel's list of the abominations the nation has committed, we see echoes of these same warnings and consequences that we got back in Kedoshim, warnings of defilement and exile. For example, here's Pasuk Dalet in our parak of Yechezkel. Therefore, I've allowed you to become mocked by the nations. They'll mock you, for you desecrated Hashem's name. Instead of an Am Kadosh, a pure nation, which is the purpose of the mitzvot outlined in Kedoshim, you will be associated with Tum'at Hashem, with profaning God's name through your actions. And again, later in Pasuk Tetvav, V'afitzoti otach b'goyim v'ziritich b'aretzot, I will scatter you among the nations and spread you across lands. V'atimoti tumatech mimer, and it will be through exile that I'll be able to wipe away your sins and your impurity. Michalt bach leinei goyim, you Yerushalayim will become mechulal, defiled, in the eyes of the nations. V'yadat ki ani Hashem, but through this process of galut, the nation will know that I'm God. It's kind of like, one way or another, my name will become known. It will become holy, but it's up to you. If you keep the mitzvot, you will naturally come to understand me, and that will make my name known to you. But if not, it is the process of galut and destruction that will accomplish that purpose. We can contextualize our parak by reaching back earlier in Yechezkel to that strange divuah involving hair that Yechezkel got back in Parak Hay. You might recall that a section of the hair Yechezkel is told to cut represents people that will survive. They may endure the hardship and shame of exile, but they'll survive. But there's also a section of hair that will be destroyed. The next section of our parak, starting in Pasuk Yud Zayin, seems to describe that group of people. The section of hair that will not survive, Shlishi Ba'ur Tavir, they will be decimated, burned in the fire. This is a terribly harsh nevuah, but it was the reality of the times. The destruction is right around the corner. This is no time to mince words. If the people are to avert the destruction to come through tshuva, they need to know the truth about what will happen if they don't change course. To understand this section of Yechezkel, a bit of background knowledge about the nature of metal and how it is forged is in order. Metal generally has impurities of one kind or another. As an example, what we think of as sterling silver, it's not pure silver. It is 925 grade silver, which is great, but not perfect. Perfection is very difficult and rare to achieve in metals. In gold, we usually reach for 14 karat gold when we buy earrings, for example. But that too is not pure gold. What is the process through which metal becomes purified? The imperfections in metal, called sigim in Hebrew, are purified through a process which involves fire. We melt metal in order to purify it from its imperfections. But what would happen if the metal is full of sigim, full of imperfections? No silver at all, just impurities. That, Yechezkel contends, is the state of affairs for Israel at this time. Ben Adam, Hayuli Beit Yisrael, L'sigim. Son of man, the Jewish people were impurities to me. Kulam nachoshet uvdil varzel v'ofaret b'toch kur, sigim kesef hayu. They are all copper, tin, iron, and lead within the cauldron meant to purify silver. And remember, the background to all this is Parsha Kedoshim, where the people are called on to be holy, a word we associate with purity. God says to Yechezkel, the nation of Israel consists solely of sigim, There is nothing pure about Israel right now. So what will be? All of them, the imperfect metals, will be consolidated and put into the core, the cauldron that forges metal, with intent to purify the metal. But the problem is, the fire won't be able to purify them, for the impurities are so rampant. So instead, the fire that is designed to purify them will only be able to burn and destroy them. There will be nothing to salvage. Yes, it's a pretty bleak nevuah. Yechezkel continues, "Hiituch kesep betoch kor, kein tutchu betocha. You'll be burned in the cauldron which was designed to purify. Vidatem ki ani Hashem, and then you'll know that I'm God. I'm the one behind all this. Shafachti chamati aleichem, pouring my anger upon you." That word shafach, it appears earlier in this chapter too, in connection with the Ir HaDamim. Earlier in the Ir HaDamim, blood was spilled shafach. Now, a consequence of this has emerged. God's anger is spilled toward the people. In our next section of the parak, starting in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, God describes the sins of the city once again, this time referring to it as an Eretz Lo Metuhara, an impure land. Here the focus is on the kinds of people committing these sins. It turns out that they are the leaders of society, Nevi'im, Kohanim, officers. First, in Pasuk Chaf Hei, we hear of the Nevi'im, the false prophets. As we've seen before, these prophets plotted to prophesy that there will be peace rather than destruction. But in so doing, these leaders, instead of acting protectively for its herd as a lion should, were ka'arisho eg, tarov tarav. They roared and devoured the people, killing them. It's as though they mistook their constituency as their prey, all because their false roars prevented the people from doing teshuvah. The text goes on and speaks of the crimes of another group of leaders, the Kohanim. Remember the word chamas, treachery or stealing, which we saw earlier describing the deeds of the nation? Well, now it becomes the deeds of the nation's leaders, the Kohanim. Kohaneha chamsu torati, the Kohanim withheld my Torah. But the chamas of the Kohanim is different than the chamas of the people. The people's chamas was garden variety violence or theft. The Kohanim, on the other hand, are accused of something that is seemingly worse, stealing God's Torah. Their role is to teach Torah to the nation, but they haven't done it. It is as if they've kept the nation from their birthright. They've stolen the Torah from them. The text goes on, "Vayechalalu kodshai bin kodesh l'cho lo hivdilu, uvein hatameh l'tahor lo hodiyu." They defiled my name by not modeling and teaching about the distinction between holiness and desecration, between purity and impurity. Because, for example, they didn't warn the people about Chilul Shabbos, the desecration of Shabbos, these Kohanim are responsible for the desecration of this day, a day that is meant to teach about the holiness of Hashem. All told, these Kohanim, who are supposed to make God's name holy, they've defiled God's name instead. Va'echal betocham, and I became desecrated among them. The word va'echal plays off of the words back in Perek Chaf, in which God says that earlier in history, he held back from pouring his anger on the sinning nation, Levilti Achel, in order not to defile his name. Here in Yechezkel's day, it is the very Kohanim who are supposed to embody and teach about God's holiness who defile his name. And as a result, this time God finally pours his anger on the nation. The third group of leaders discussed in our parak are the Sarim, the officers. These officers are likened to Ze'evim, to wolves, or rather unflattering portraits. Sareha bikirba ki Ze'evim torfei taref. The officers among her were like wolves tearing at prey. Lishpoch dam labei nefasho leman b'tzoa betza. They spilled blood to kill people in order to amass wealth. Again, what is an officer's role? To protect the people. But these officers are wolves, and the people are their prey. They spill blood only to benefit themselves. But look at that verse a little more carefully. I'll repeat it. Sareha bikirba ki Ze'evim torfei taref lishpoch dam labei nefasho leman b'tzoa betza. That combination of words, taref, betza, and lishpoch dam in close succession, immediately remind us of another earlier leader of the nation. They remind us of the actions of Yehuda in the story of Mechirat Yosef, the sale of Yosef. Remember Yehuda's words when he and the brothers consider what to do with Yosef in the pit? What gain is there in selling our brother and covering up his blood? Yehuda later joined his brothers in presenting a bloody cloak to their father, leading him to falsely declare, Tarof Taraf Yosef, that Yosef was eaten alive. The repetition of this combination of words here in Yechezkel is ominous. The actions of Yehuda, the first leader of the tribes of Israel, are what ultimately led to the sale of Yosef and, by extension, to Galut Mitzrayim. First, Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim, and then everyone else follows suit. And now, many years later, at the time of Yechezkel, we are once again on the precipice of Galut. The leaders, people like Yehuda of old, could have saved the day, but instead, they were concerned with prophet Betza and spilled dam, Torah, preying on the people. God laments this failure of these leaders toward the close of this parak. Avakesh mehem ish goder gader v'omeid baperes lefanai. I will search among them for a person to hold the line and stand in the breach on my behalf. Ba'ad ha'aretz levilti shachata, for the sake of the land so it doesn't get destroyed. I was hoping to find leaders who would uphold my laws, who would guide the nation by building fences, so to say, to stand in the way of the people's bad deeds, blocking the holes in the wall, the weaknesses of the nation for sin, their vices, levilti shachata, so that I wouldn't have to destroy the city. But, God says, v'lo matzati, I didn't find anyone that could truly lead the nation in integrity. And so, destruction and exile is the only way forward. A new generation in the future will need to come back and rebuild the integrity and the justice that sadly has failed to come to the people through its present-day leaders. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.